Paul said, even if I give my body to be burned, but it is not provoked by the love in my heart, I profit nothing. Job chapter 29. I want to explain something about Job. And now, of course, you know, at this point, Job was looking back over what his life had been. And like I explained to us last time, I said, remember, at the beginning, God said Job was a good man. Am I right? God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job is a good guy? The testimony of the scripture is that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. That he was a good man. Now let's now come back to Job chapter 29. Job was looking over this period in his life when the testimony of God was indeed upon his tabernacle. He said, oh, that I were in the months gone by. I'm reading verse 2 now. And as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone over my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. And I was in the prime of my days. He said, as I was in the prime of my days, when the friendship of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was with me, and my children were about me, when my steps were bathed in butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square, the young men saw me and hid themselves. And the old men arose and stood. That is, he was an honored man in his place. He said, the princes stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. And the voice of the nobles was hushed. And their tongues stuck to their palate. And when the ear heard, it called me blessed. And when the eye saw, it gave witness of me. Why? That's what I want to understand. Verse 12. This was the reason why I explained that he was an upright man that had God's stamp of approval. Why did I get all these blessings? Verse 12 said, because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper. He said, the blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sink for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. He said, my justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I investigated the case which I did not know. And I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth. Let me stop there. Why did I read this? Talking about the fact that God indeed rewards the labor of love. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, many things that we do. Now listen. When you are doing things because you want to get back, that is not a labor of love. It is what? The labor of selfishness. Don't ever forget that. I mean, you see it every time. Thank God for political times that we had in Nigeria. I remember those days, Abacha times. Abacha's time. A lot of big men, these authentic Gs, they will go to Aso Rock. I think the standard fee was $25,000. See, they want to go and do image laundering from Nigeria abroad. Every time you go there, it was not for the love of the country. It was for the $25,000 that the men will get. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was very common. And unfortunately, we carried that into the church. People do things because they say, this is my passport to prosperity. Now, get me. Let me go by it again. I am not saying it is wrong to seek prosperity. I'm not saying it's wrong. But anything done because of that is not the labor of love. It's a labor of selfishness. I won't mention names, but there was a time somebody told a story about a very big man in this country, very rich, wealthy man. He's late now. And in his state, he wanted to, that was during the First Republic, when Shagari became head of the president and head of state, of course. During the campaign, this man spent a lot of money to support one particular candidate who was a well-educated man. Then after everything, the man won the election and he became the governor of his state. And he went to the man and said, now, sir, that we have won the election, what do you want? So the man told him, I considered you the best candidate for my state. Go and do well. Period. I desire nothing. That is, what I did was for the love of this state. I don't have to mention names of what happens nearby. In this state, very close, which a few of us might be from, in which the political godfather carries the guys to shrines to swear that they shall be loyal to him all the days of their lives. That is what the labor of selfishness. I'll put the two of the two incidents and the two cases of spirit, of political godfathers sponsoring candidates for governorship and the motives therein. One man said, I have considered everything and I consider that you will be the best governor that this state can get. I want nothing from you. The only thing you owe me is to be a good governor. Now go and be a good governor. The other man said, no, I shall choose your commissioners and you shall pay me certain amounts of money periodically. That what I spent is an investment. It is a labor of selfishness. Again, let me go over it again. What pains me in it is that people think that God does not think. Jesus used to say, if you, a man, can even think about this, how much more God? You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the Bible says God is not mocked. He said, I, the Lord, I test the mind. I search the heart. I will put my hand in, put a microscope, and check everything that's up in your heart. Why are you doing what you are doing? You know the interesting thing? Because of the depravity of the hearts of men, you can hardly find people thinking beyond the level of what they are going to get from this thing. You know, Demos Shakarian told a story of when he went to a city and told them that they want to come and organize gospel meetings, that his ministry is the ministry of helps. So he wanted to help the churches organize gospel meetings. They invite a minister, and this is what he would do. He will spend his money. Well, I think the money will be like a kind of a loan. If they meet at the end of the meeting, they have enough money, they will probably refund him the money or something like that, or he will stand as surety for the debt that they will incur. Now, if they get enough money to pay the bills, fine. If they get excess money, the money gotten from it will be shared amongst all the churches that participated. And if there's any shortfall, he bears the cost. That is, physically speaking, he stands to gain nothing. So he gathered all the pastors and explained everything. So they were looking at him. None of them believed that there was nothing that was up for this man. So when he finished talking, somebody finally summoned up courage and said, so what is in it for you? What do you have up your sleeves, Mr. Shakarian? Tell us. You can imagine how the man felt. But again, God helped him. He summoned up his own heart together, put everything together, and explained that everybody has an assignment in life. That I have the ministry of helps. I am doing my work as God has commanded me. And he pulled his sleeves up and said, guys, see, there is nothing up the sleeves. And everybody laughed. But this is what I want to understand. This is how most human beings think. That is why they don't ever do anything for God without putting, you know, without attaching anything to it. There is a practice very common in churches, and many preachers hearing this will either disagree with it or be enlightened by it. When they want to give an offering, they say, call your offering a name. That is iniquity. That's my opinion. That is, I'm giving this offering, I call it a Mercedes Benz. I want a car. You have not given it. Listen to me, that you have not given it. I hear it all the time. Give your offering a name. If you're a single lady, you want the husband. And you go to church. Father God, this is my seed for the husband. Read your Bible very well. Nobody ever got anything from God behaving like that. Everybody that got something from God went to pray. Jabez said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Period. You have not because you ask not. Listen, God said, who has given to him that he might demand back? Why did Paul explain it? He said, if he freely gave you the greatest gift of God, his only begotten son, he said, how much more will he not freely give every other thing to you? I said, I'm trying to balance something out here. Everything you do because of love is always rewarded. There was a time that Peter was tired after fishing all night and catching absolutely zero. Jesus wanted to preach. He said, Peter, push the boat back a bit so that they won't push me into the water. Let me sit on the boat. Then he will sit on the shore. So Peter moved the boat, and I assumed that he sat in the boat and was keeping the boat steady. You know, because immediately after, Jesus told him, oh yeah, push further. After Jesus has finished preaching, he now looked at Peter and said, yeah, move further, let us go and fish. And Jesus said, wait, you are a preacher. And I happen to know your carpentry shop before you enter the ministry. You are a carpenter. Fishing is not in your house at all. I am a professional fisherman. And I have toiled all night and caught nothing. Jesus said, now I'm adding my own words to it. I have used your boat. Let me pay for the boat I used. Is that all right? Nevertheless, at your word, then he cast in the net. And you know the rest of the story. Listen, he did not give that boat because he was looking for fish. In fact, when he offered him fish, he said, there's no fish in there. Listen to me. Those who will get rewarded for the labor of love will have been satisfied if they were not rewarded. Are you getting me? I've said this again. God will never give you money so as to make you happy in life. If you are not happy in your current state, you will never be rich. What God first gives you is his word and trains you up. In fact, takes the one that you have. Let's see how you will react. When you don't react badly, you say, okay, now I can give you plenty. You won't go mad on me. Are you getting the point I'm making? Read your Bible well. Those who get for what they did. And it is not a matter of work of faith. We have discussed about that. When it's a matter of just giving out of love, they always give wanting nothing in return. People have said, if you don't want, you will not get. That is not true. Peter was not begging Jesus for fish when Jesus gave it to him. The widow that Gehazi had to tell, look, they called the widow. He said, listen, what's the name of our own town now? Is it the Shunammite woman? Yes, that was the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman. They called the woman and said, what do you want us to do for you? And the woman said, I'm a happy person. I don't want anything. Then Gehazi said, Oga, you see that woman? She doesn't have a child. Ah, Elijah said, oh, small do. This is a simple case. I do it all the time. Call her. As soon as the woman stepped in, he said, go. This time next year, you will give birth to a child. What I'm saying is that she did none of the things that she did to get from the man of God. She did it purely because he was a man of God. God said, anybody that gives something to a prophet because he's a prophet, not because he's in need or because he's in lack and he wants to sow a seed to come out of poverty. He said, if he gives to a prophet because he's a prophet, he will get a prophet's reward. Listen, I said earlier, the doctrine of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving is not an incentive for the stingy man. Is an encouragement for the heart that gives. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Everybody needs to understand that, let me use Mike Murdock's words. He said, you have been created to bless somebody. He said, use the word connections. He said, if you are not blessing somebody, you will not live long. That is a matter of faithfulness. You know, I keep on emphasizing this. It's a matter of faithfulness that I am fulfilling God's commandment. In fact, let me use the words of Jesus again. They said, what have you eaten? He said, my food or my satisfaction is derived from doing the work of him that sent me. Period. He said, when I do the will of him that sent me, I am satisfied. I always gave myself as a personal testimony. If God blessed me with, let's say, billions of dollars today because I preached, he will know that I never preached for money. Why? Because the time I used to go to preach was sheer pleasure. It used to cost me money. It's this day that I go to preach and people pay for the trip at least, even if they can't do anything else. Oh God, please let us fuel your car. When I go to preach for my guys in Benin, I used to tell them, no, sorry, I don't. At the point in time, the agreement, I remember they were inviting me at the time. I said, okay, buy 50 liters of fuel for me when I'm going pour into my car. At least that will get me to Benin and back to Enugu. As per money, no, that's not part of the deal. That it is done purely out of my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Anything you do that's not like that and it's not a work of faith primarily, that is, when I say work of faith, God gave you a word and you have to act upon that word. If anything you do beyond that gets no reward,
The one that plagues her. I have seen people say all kinds of things. You know, that's why people started stealing and giving their employer's money to church. It was because somebody cast a spell on him by telling him that that money will yield fruit. You think I open an ordinary clear eye? That's why somebody will carry his brother's can go and give us an offering because he thinks that three cars will result. Then I'll refund one to my brother. What is the labor of love? That you see an old man on the road and he has a flat tire and you're about to go for a deal that will strike you a million, but your heart cannot leave the man there standing beside the bush. Remember, I said to us before, God always, listen, when the Bible says God is just, it means that there is always an explanation for what he does. He always looks for a reason to bless. It is either because of the work of faith or it is the labor of love. I am not aware he ever blesses the labor of selfishness. I mean, look, you self think, come, if you be God. I want to go to hear Mike's house. And they say, look, oh boy, food is flowed. Anytime you land, Grudge must land. So, I had to go to the left or the right. I just remember, food is always here. The reason why I have gone, after some time, you see that this guy is always arriving about 2 o'clock, and he knows that I served my food at 1:59. You may not drive me away, but at least you know where I came. That's a human being who understanding. How much more God? And you tell him you have sown that he wants to reap. He will tell you, the one you sowed is still where you kept it. I want to return it back to you. I have seen that thou art an exact human. But maybe he'll put it in bank for you. It might use small interest. Like I said, my emphasis today is on what I call the labor of love. A lot of times when we preachers want to preach, and to me this is an error, we shouldn't do it. You want to explain to people why today you are going to ask them to give a sacrificial offering. Then you start giving an example of people who gave offerings purely as labors of love, yet you are telling them to emulate it as a labor of selfishness. I'm sorry to say this, but have you ever watched TBN during praise-a-thon? I feel sorry. I feel bad. I actually pray, God, please don't let them continue doing this. This is your opportunity. If you have a grandmother, your child is not saved. Come and sow into this ministry. God will save your child. Then I will bend my head and shake and say, prosperity doesn't give you right to misinform the earth like this. And you had better get your doctrine right. Otherwise, God will remove the right from you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I think believers, you understand. Let me tell you what. If I give money to TBN, it will be because I like what they are doing. Not because I'm broke. When I'm broke, you know what I do? I pray. Is that not what the Bible says I should do? If any man is afflicted, let him pray. It's simple. However, let me lay my emphasis properly. I've been corrected some wrongs. God rewards you for everything you do to help somebody who's in need. God rewards you for everything you do to advance his work. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Things you do, he said, when you give to a prophet, because he is a prophet. I've said it before, there are different reasons why you give. You give because somebody's in need, but you also give to those who God commanded you to honor. If you go to visit the king, he's not a poor. Solomon was so rich, yet everybody took it upon himself when they are coming to drag a goat along. After greeting the king, you tie the goat somewhere. You know, every day the king will come out. He will look and look and say, who begetteth me all these goats? They will say, all the men are the ones that the people who came from Syria yesterday. All of them, each one came with 2 goats each. He said, that's okay. Slaughter them for the. You know, that party they are doing in that secondary school, that I'm supposed to be special guest of honor. Let it be the meat they will eat. Somebody told me a story that Archbishop Benson Dawosa, that's gone on to glory now, that those days, you know, see those heavy agbadas you used to wear, that the man doesn't know Taylor's house. He just come out in the morning, sit on that wrap on the bed there, on the table, you're just losing it and wear it. Next morning, another one is there. People say, this man like big cloth. It's God that sent the cloth. What do you want? If not you, you don't go wear them.
Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Although he said there was a time one brother sent him when he started wearing suits. There was a time Archbishop says shifted from native to suit. That the guy sent very nice, well-made suit. So Archbishop looked at it and said, "Where's the shoe and the shirt? That God doesn't ever send me suit like that. It always calls me shoe and shirt. Go and bring it. God gave it to you. You have kept it behind. Go and bring everything." No authentic gist too. And the guy said, "God doesn't send me suit like that. It always comes with shoes. Try with shoes. How come your own doesn't have shoes?" Praise the Lord. I'm just saying that people give out of, to him because of honor. You understand my point? They honor the man of God. You give to people also who are in need. But the point I want to make is this: all these things are done as a labor of love if it's going to get any reward from God. God does not encourage us to practice this labor of selfishness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me summarize my day's message again by saying that we have spoken in past times about the work of faith. And today, I'm just emphasizing on the labor of love. And to remind believers that it is not a good practice to tie, you know, once you drop an offering and you call it a name, you haven't dropped, you have tied a rope to it. You know what it means? Lord, you know, I prayed about this car last year. And that 5,000 that I gave in the offering, you're owing me, you know, that's for the spare tires. And then the other time, when they said we should give a spare offering to the man of God that came, you know, I didn't have money, but they said we should call it a name. I called it a car. All right, so put all those monies together. Oh, God, you never pay now. Why could they owe? No. It is not the right way to deal with God. You understand my point? This is how I'll just be doing. But you know what God will tell you back? That 5,000 that you gave, can you remember that? That work that you did, there was the man dashed you 5,000 above the money that you charged him. Saying, "Yes, I remember. And I just took my money back. I said, you should go and give to somebody. Is it your money?" He said, "Okay. Oh, what about the balance?" I said, "That one. Remember, you did not deserve that job. You're supposed to be put on level 12. I put you on level 14. Everything above level 14, 12 salary is my own. So you are going to be giving it. Otherwise, you will lose the job. After that, you will stop praying nonsense prayer." Okay, one evening, it's okay, my son, come. What do you want? You want a car? You have just said you wanted a car. You can't bribe me like this. You know, it's kids that do things like that. Like my little boy, he will go and say, "Daddy, take." He give you a cup. Then bring the drink. "Daddy, take." You know, both of them are not offerings at all. He's saying, "Open the drink and pour it inside and return it back unto me." No, we shouldn't be children. We should learn to be adults. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you do things out of love. This man needs it. I have done it for him. If God does not reward me, I will not feel guilty. Did I say feel guilty? I will not feel deprived. I will not feel cheated. You know, the other day, some people came to my house. They said they heard it was my son's dedication. And they brought one tall ceiling fan. And a whole carton of one of those juices, you know. And I said, this is very nice. Thank you very much. I said, "Oh, Ghana, you were supposed to thank." I said, but in my mind, I did something for them, which they thought would cost them a lot of money. So when we finished, I just said, "How much can we charge? You shall just go and be blessed and settle all your problems." And they were excited. Listen, as God is my witness, I had forgotten them. In fact, one of them said, "I am an engineer with Nitel. Do you need anything?" I said, "God, this is not GSM with the user. I don't need Nitel again." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, I had finished with them. I just sat in my house. Dedication was on Sunday. On Monday, I was too tired to go out of the house. And my phone rang. So I got beg, "Where is your house?" And they just want to come and say, "Happy, I want to greet baby." I said, "Okay, this is where my house is." And they arrived. Now, the point I'm making from there is this. I just want to use an illustration. What I did was not for, in fact, there's a reason why I believe God caused me to do it, because I wasn't thinking. In fact, I had finished everything before I thought. You understand what I'm saying? They just came and said, "Please, then, will you do this for us?" I said, "Okay, how much are you going to charge?" I said, "Let's do it first." I was not in the mood for thinking about money. Then when we finished doing it, it's okay, okay, now that you have finished, thank you very much. God bless you, sir. So that charge thing, we have not discussed it. I still was not in the mood for discussing charge. So I said, "Okay, just go. God bless you all. Just say thank you and go away." I believe there's a reason. I'll tell you at the end when we finish, why I think that probably God caused it to be like that. All right. Anyway, by the time we finished, I was too happy that everything came out good and they were going to get a good result for the thing that they wanted. All right. So by the time I got their phone call later, I thought they would just come and say, ah, thank happy, you know, maybe everybody drop envelope containing maybe 1,000 naira. By the time my wife put out the receipt for the fan they bought, wow, we don't have to say everything, but I was really impressed. And I saw the huge amount of juice. Now, vitamin C is being replenished in my soul. Are you getting the point I'm making? I just use that to illustrate the fact that I didn't do it for anything. And listen, I think I shared something with us some time ago, that it is better to behave like the widow of Shunem, the Shunammite woman. Sorry, she was not a widow, the woman of Shunem. And say, what do you want for this thing you have done? Say, I've just done my work. I've honored the prophet. I need nothing. Then God will take it upon himself to produce the reward. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If that woman had said, yes, talk to the governor for me. You know, Elisha would have gone, talked to the governor, and that would have been the end of it. But the woman just said, I don't want anything. And God now decided, yes, because you have done this purely out of love, therefore, I will give you this child as payment. Remember, God doesn't ever owe anything. You will not die and say, God is owing me. It's not possible. However, if you think you can tickle God by bribing him, it also doesn't work. He will call it the work of iniquity. It's a labor of selfishness. I hope you have understood what I have said so far. I hope you have understood everything. Praise the Lord. Now, having said all of this, I want to close now. I just want to summarize what we have said, talking about this activating the blessings of God. And that is the fact that God's blessings will need to be activated. That God always looks for an excuse to bless somebody. That when you discover, in fact, you see that the word of God is like that. Everything is always tying together. Like I said, when you do something because this is the reason why I have been born and I derive my satisfaction from helping other people, God will say, you have discovered the principle of Hannah. Now I can release something in your direction. You understand what I'm going to say? And when God gives a word and you act according to that word and it becomes a guide for every decision you make in life, we explained that when we're talking about analysis of work. He said, when you do that, indeed you'll be mightily blessed. And God will swear on your behalf, like he swore to Abraham, that indeed, in blessing, I will bless you and I will make your name great. And when you are doing things, stop trying to bribe God. Do the labor of love. And God ranks the labor of love as high as he ranks the works of faith. What you do to some, listen to me, let me just put this in mind. Let me just add this one so that you can put it in mind. I told them when I was speaking with the on that radio program, one thing I explained to them is that when Jesus was coming down, it was a deprivation. Don't forget that. When you are doing it, that's why love is labor. You understand my point? You need to deny yourself of something. That is why, you see, you have to get this point clear. That is why people oftentimes say that you don't ever give God something that does not cost you anything. Well, you can interpret it in many ways. But the point I want to make is this. Talking about the labor of love is not a labor, it's not a convenient work of love. Sometimes the things are inconvenient. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Kingsley, the day I told you to go to my house, carry my car, and start driving to Nigeria to come and pick me, I am sure you would rather be at home. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Something is inconvenient is not an excuse. In fact, you see, that's why maybe it's easy to balance that doctrine now. That's why a lot of times people want to preach as if the thing must be painful. Now, it doesn't have to be. You understand what I'm going to say? But if it needs to be painful, then good. I mean, if I come begging a multimillionaire for 5,000 naira, it won't say that, no, it must be painful, so I must give you 5 million. It's 5,000 to meet my need. But when it comes to taking a painful step, like the Macedonians did, then do it also because God indeed will bless you in return. Do you understand my point? Remember, we are not doing because we want to collect God's blessings. Like I said, the doctrine is an encouragement for the heart that's willing to do it. You understand that point? Let me end this by telling this story I heard from this woman. I read in her book, Mary Kay Ash, the woman, the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. It's an interesting story. I've told it a few times, and to me, it perfectly illustrates the way God works, talking about the labor of love. She said that one day, the church she attended, her pastor called her. They were trying to build a house, a children's church, kind of something like that. So they told the people, give money. So every time, give, and one all of you, give. People will give $500. That is when you count all the offerings, $500. Then you come next day, God rewards the cheerful giver. They'll give $400. After everything, I don't think they never got beyond that $500 axis. Then the pastor asked Mary Kay, the woman, please come and encourage people, give a short speech, exhortation, and then we'll take the offering for that children's church. She said that she's afraid to speak. Of course, most people, even if they are beautiful public speakers elsewhere, when it gets to church, once they are not the pastor of the church, people tend to lose heart. You understand my point? So like that, she lost her heart and said, no, I beg, I no go fit. But the pastor persuaded her. She said, all right. That to make it easy, the man said, anytime you want, you have for the next 4 weeks. So she picked the farthest date possible. But that meant that she forgot. The day came, by the time she remembered the day before that. So she had not prepared her speech. So she went out with her husband for a party somewhere, and by the time they got back home, she was so tired, both of them just fell asleep. Boom. So by the time she woke up next morning, I think it was like 1 hour to service time. And Mary Kay Cosmetics. Now the woman has to apply her cosmetics before she leaves home. So the time she was doing cosmetic application inside the bathroom, all the time went again. So she couldn't prepare. So she was like, hey, God, though, please, though, you will have to help me, I beg. I don't know what to say. Anyway, she said while she was dressing up, applying her makeup, suddenly a thought dropped in her mind. She said that if people say they hear God, that's the closest she has ever come to hearing it. And the thought was this: tell them you will match every dollar they give. That is, for every dollar they give, she will give a dollar. So if they give $1,000, she'll give $1,000. If they give $200, she'll give $200. If they give $5,000, she'll give $5,000. Now, bear in mind, the people have never given more than $500. So she got to church. They called her up. She tried to talk. She said the talk didn't flow. So she just told them that, okay, I will give $1 for every dollar that you give. So she didn't even discuss with her husband. Her husband like, what? And she now told them another thing. She said, and that's our principle in business. They don't deal in credit. It's cash and carry. That's where they do their thing. So if you are giving also, it's cash and carry giving. You give the money now, you issue the check now. I'm not taking Ogara beg. It's pledge. I'll pay next week. So the person asked to her, okay, that people are in church. They didn't prepare for it. So they should give them till evening. You understand? So she said, fine. Till evening, but you must give the money or issue the check today. So they took the offering and she went home, waiting for them to call her to tell her how much she had to give. You understand what I'm saying? Because she was going to match everything that they gave. The night came, nobody called her. She woke up in the morning, they had not yet called her. I think maybe around 9 or 10, the phone finally rang. It was the chairman of the building committee. And the man said, you people didn't call me yesterday. They said, we're very sorry. We had to have an emergency meeting. Then it was a serious matter. Then her mind, maybe they gave up to $5,000. This would be He said, first of all, we want you to know that the church has met, the church elders, they have met, and they have decided to release you from the pledge that you made, that you don't have to meet up the pledge. He said, why? He said, we just want you to know that first before we tell you the amount that was given. So he told the man, don't worry. I made the pledge. I will fulfill it. So how much? She said, okay, this money must be big, $10,000. The man was still like, talk now. Must actually, they gave cash and checks. I mean, instant money given, no pledges. $106,000. A heart filled. He said, the way she paused, the man knew that something was wrong. The man said, you see, that's what I was telling you, that we have met and we have decided as a church, the body of Christ, we have released you. I'm talking about labor of love. The woman said, I made the promise, I have to fulfill it. It was not convenient.
So she said that, actually she titled that chapter in that book, "You Can't Outgive God." So she said that she thought $106,000. Where do you, of course, you know, educated people don't carry that kind of money hanging around. They are not politicians from a crooked state somewhere in the corner of Nigeria, not at all. If you do business, such money is really doing business somewhere. You understand? She said that the easiest way she would get the money was to go to her bank manager, who knows her very well. The man would just give her the money instantly, and then she would pay back over time with, of course, the bank interest. So she came to that conclusion, and so that's what she would do. She had not left where she was. Less than an hour after that first phone call, the phone rang again. This time around, it was her son. And the first statement the boy made was, "Mommy, why is it that everything you do, you put your hand to, turns to gold?" She said, "What are you talking about?" Some months before, the boy has a friend, that her son had a friend, and that friend had developed a geosensing technique for detecting where oil, all right, oil deposits are. And the boy had the confidence that the thing will work. Of course, the man needed money. You have brain, doesn't mean you make money. So you had to go to those who had money to invest. So she had invested money in that business and had forgotten about it. I think just before that, they finally struck oil for the first time. Two of their sites they were drilling struck oil. And they said, and the boy told her that her share of the profit in the first month is over $100,000. Do you understand what I'm saying? I use that to explain that the Bible talks about the labor of love. The woman was not sowing a seed. Do you understand me? She was just doing what she knew to do, what was right. And when God saw her heart, you see, God said, "I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind." God saw it ahead of time. He engineered events to prepare her for that day. Are you getting me? And that time when she told the man, "I have promise and I will do it," was a final thing that she did that gave God the excuse to open the tap of oil. Do you understand my point? You see, this is where we turn the labor of love to the labor of selfishness. All of us now will start pledging 10 times our income, hoping that the day we finally pay, somebody will tell us that the roof finally opened and rain fell from heaven and it was dollars and falling into our bedroom. That instantly removes the work of God in it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What God will use to prove you, He will bring your way. Just get your heart ready to be obedient to God when the time comes. I hope you understand that. Now let us pray.
Hallelujah. Please, can we just react to the word of God that we've heard? No man can indeed know his heart